Guess what day it is?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Go. 6:10 in the morning, 720 WGN. Going to be another record-setting day, going up to a high of 71 degrees.
Is it over?
Not till Sunday. We got another nice day. How about that, Steve Cochran?
Yeah, well, I'm live from the fog-shrouded WGN parking lot. There's so much fog. John DeCosta with me this morning. John, I can't even see you, and you're in the car. Yeah, I know. I got out about an hour ago. Yeah, it's really pretty crazy. So
tell him no funny business, Steve, just because you can't see him.
That's a good point. He is all hands. I will say this, I'm a proponent of safe driving always, but if you're in, like, a foggy area, floor it and get out of there as fast as you possibly can. Because the other thing you can do, and let me just demonstrate this here in the parking lot, is you put your window down and you make this noise. Honk! Because if enough of us did human foghorns, we could blow this fog out and everybody drive faster.
Yeah, you can make the Blackhawks foghorn your ringtone and just hold it out the window.
That's actually a goal horn, but if you think it's a foghorn, that's great too.
Call it a foghorn.
It's a cutting edge idea, Steve, at the end of the day here. No one has ever come up with this idea. You may be able to eliminate fog for society.
Yeah.
That's really my goal, make America less foggy again.
Don't you have your fog lights on?
Yeah, I got my fog lights on. Okay. Actually, you know what? We can do the top six right now. You want to do the top six?
Let's do top six.
It's time to move on to a little something we call...
The Steve Cochran Show presents the top six at six.
That's the best number I've heard yet.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
Six.
Lucky guess.
My favorite number is six.
Top six at six on 720 WGN.
Well, Mark Harmon's here for Dave Ennett in sports. Mark, the Northwestern situation. What do you want to say about it?
I want to start crying and be very disappointed in last night's performance, but it's only, when you've built up the cushion here, Steve, it's not the end of the world, so the Wildcats can afford and can survive last night's loss, but when you don't score for 8 minutes in the second half, that is a problem, and the Wildcats, I think they got to just get their mojo back a little bit here. Scotty Lindsey coming back from the mono, he's not playing the way he was before, so that's a big thing when they go into Indiana on Saturday.
And nobody understands a drought more than me. I haven't scored in years. another sports item before we move on. The Bears have apparently admitted, off the record, but admitted, in other words, they'd like it leaked, that they're actively seeking a Jay Cutler trade. Who wants him?
It's an interesting question, and I guess Jay's got to be involved in the discussions, too. I look at Jay going to a bad team. Like, I see him ending up with the Browns or the Jets. I think, good teams are going to end up with Tony Romo. But the way it's being written right now, that Cutler may force his way onto a contender. I don't know if is Denver going to sign up for Cutler again? I'd be highly surprised. I'm going to stick with the Jets, Steve. I'm saying he's going to be a New York Jet.
Haven't the Jets gone through enough? next.
True.
Yesterday, in the midst of protests around the country, not just against congressional Republicans holding town halls, but also against President Trump on a number of different issues, there at the Statue of Liberty, somehow, and it had to be an inside job, somebody got up to the viewing level of the Statue of Liberty and hung a refugees welcome banner. Mm-hmm. It was taken down pretty quickly by security, but it was up long enough where it went viral, and it really kind of says it all, doesn't it? On the Statue of Liberty, a refugees welcome banner. Meanwhile, we're waiting for the specific language of the update on the immigration law that the Trump folks are trying to pass. Next! The education secretary, listen, everybody's got a teacher they probably weren't fond of, along with all the other teachers I hope you liked. Everybody's got a special teacher that changed their life, somebody you remember. That's the majority of your school memories, I hope. I've never seen this. Education Secretary Betsy DeVos becomes the first cabinet-level appointee who has to have U.S. Marshals protect her because she feels unsafe, and they feel it's not safe for her to be walking outside or being outside. She's the education secretary. So how about everybody take a breath? Your kids, our kids, all kids are incredibly important. She's not going to destroy the universe. And let's not go through this nonsense where she's physically harmed over this. There's a lot of ways to deal with her if she's not doing the job. And no, I wouldn't have voted for her. But it's ridiculous that she has to have U.S. Marshal protection. Next! The Trump tax returns petition has reached 1 million signatures. Andre, I don't know. Do you know what the number is before the White House is supposed to respond to those petitions? I thought it was less than that.
It's much less than that. It depends on what it is. I thought it was 250, Steve. So he's well over that number.
Yeah. Now, these are non-binding petitions. It doesn't mean that he has to do it, but it does mean that 1 million Americans say, we want to see your tax returns. And, of course, a lot of us, okay, me, I think that's your key to Russia, to find out what's in his tax returns, or at least part of it. Next! I don't understand this story. Drew Peterson's now in federal custody. Do we know any reason why the switch was made?
What happened is that Ben Bradley, remember last week, Steve, did that investigative piece on taxpayers spending money to pay for Drew Peterson's trial. It was just this exorbitant number. So he actually went back, broke the story yesterday, was trying to find a comment from IDOC, the Illinois Department of Corrections, and they said, he's not in our custody anymore. So that set off a series of where the heck is Drew Peterson for a couple of hours yesterday. Illinois Department of Corrections just continually saying that he's not with us. Turns out he is in a federal lockup in Terre Haute, and not even his lawyer, who we've talked to, Steve Greenberg, knows why.
So they moved him. We don't know why they moved him, but we do know he's not walking the street looking to kill other wives.
Right, right. Absolutely. He is in lockup. What they're speculating is that there was some sort of a threat to his life because now he is in solitary at the prison in Terre Haute.
Well, that's outrageous. I would hate to see anything happen to Drew Peterson. And finally tonight, Ken Bone is back. For those of you who have forgotten, Ken Bone was the fat guy in the red sweater at the St. Louis presidential debate, who nobody knew at the time, but turned out to be a conservative Republican. He is going to CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Committee annual event, which both President Trump and Vice President Pence will be speaking at. And we don't think Ken Bone's been invited to speak, but we do think he's bringing the sweater. Meanwhile, nobody had a worse day yesterday than Milo Yiannopoulos, whatever the hell his name is, along with being exposed for the hack that he is. He lost his book deal, and he had to resign from his full-time highly paid job at Breitbart. And, of course, as all whiny little hacks do, he's blaming everyone but him. This guy will be a blip on the radar screen and a name you won't remember in a matter of days. And that's the way it should be. There's your top six at six. And Mary's here with your traffic on 720 WGN.
Morning, 720 WGN. It is the Steve Cochran Show. All right, so the Cats falling to Illinois last night in Champaign. They didn't score in 8 minutes.
It was supremely painful. I was, I was feeling for Dave Ennett. I was feeling for Joey Meyer. I was feeling for Chris Collins. I was feeling for Bryant McIntosh. I was feeling for all Northwestern fans everywhere.
Andre and I were good.
Yeah, you know I was so torn because, again, like, the Illini loyalty, but, you know, it's Dave Ennett, Mr.
I know,
Cat.
I felt bad.
We're the home of the Cats.
I
know. Show
but come
love.
On, we had to have a little orange. I mean, the state is half orange. We got to acknowledge that.
Mary, didn't I carry down a beautiful picture of you yesterday provided by Northwestern?
I know. Northwestern is in my head, but. You know, Illinois is in my heart.
Okay.
I got to say that.
You know that Illinois is out of the NCAA tournament. The game meant absolutely nothing for them, right?
I don't care.
But the Cats still are in it. The Cats still have a chance, right, Mark?
The Cats are fine.
So it was good both ways last night, then.
That's why you should be rooting for Northwestern.
I will now.
Was that enough to save the Illini coach's job?
I don't think so.
Oh, boy.
He's I don't think so either.
I think John Gross is going to go somewhere else.
Bye-bye, John Gross. Well,
it'll be interesting to see who Illinois hires.
How'd the Illini program get so upside down?
I don't know. That's a guy, you know.
When was the last time they were in the tournament?
2005, Bruce Weber. No, they were in the tournament in 2008, I believe, but the last time they were in the Final Four was 2005.
But they were perennial Sweet 16 threats.
Yeah, and it was because of Bill Self's recruiting class, but then Bruce Weber, I thought, was a great coach.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
So we had Bill Self, Bruce Weber, and then it just went downhill from there. Weber left kind of unexpectedly, like Bill Self did, so I think they were left scrambling.
Can we have Lovey take it over for a while?
That'd be a good idea.
I don't think that would work either.
He's doing their football program.
Yeah, but he's not busy now.
He could do both. I don't know. I don't know if he did so great with the football the first year.
His recruiting class was super low. They last made the tournament in 13.
Just 13.
It's not that long ago.
Mm-mm.
It's not 108 years.
Mm-mm.
13. That's true. 13, 11, 09. And then before that, they like never miss it. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1,000. Yeah, got all the way back to 99.
They've just fallen apart. They just need a couple good classes.
So that's your big sports story. Northwestern loses and Cutler's up for being traded.
How about those Blackhawks, Steve? Huh?
Well, Blackhawks,
I mean,
you know, that's a routine. You know, we just go, we win.
Seven wins in a row on the road.
Taves, wow.
Franchise record.
You know, when the Blackhawks.
Taves, who hasn't scored a lot this year, got how many pick up last night?
That was a hat trick and two assists.
Yeah, but here's my point. He had, I think, 12 goals coming in. He had 25% of his season production last night in that game. So now he's got 15.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
I never worry, though. I mean, if the Hawks, God forbid, if they start going on maybe a 2-3 game losing streak, which I know they haven't, I don't worry. Do you?
No.
I never
go, such an expectation of victory.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, they got up last night. Was it 3-1?
3-1-4-2.
Yeah, 3-1-4-2. They got a 3-1, and there's still, like, you know, full period almost left. And I went, yeah, I'm done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I figured I'd just close it out.
Well, they're getting it. They're getting production on all four lines right now, which when they get something like that, you think, are you going to win the cup again? Because you might.
There's always, it's got to be conversations around the National Hockey League that go like this and other offices that go every damn year. It gets to be late February, early March, and all the Hawks do is win. Like, I need that. I'm the Montreal Canadiens. I'm the Toronto Maple Leafs. I'm the whoever. By the way, Toronto any good this year?
Toronto.
I literally haven't looked at the Eastern Conference standings probably since December.
Toronto's third in the East.
Okay, well, they're improving.
Look at you, Steve, just dropping a Maple Leafs out of nowhere.
Washington Capitals are the runaway Eastern Conference leader by far.
I went to the game Saturday, and they lost, obviously, to Edmonton 3-1, and I said to the guy sitting next to me, is Edmonton's goalie this great?
Edmonton's the comeback story of the year. Edmonton's been awful, and they're not just a one-trick pony. They have this kid that, you know, is the next Patrick Kane, supposedly.
He's the new deal.
And they're
Connor McDavid.
Connor McDavid. They're very competitive.
They played well.
Yeah.
Not as good as we did.
47 assists for Connor McDavid. 20 goals. That's ridiculous. 67 points.
Yeah, in his second year?
Connor McDavid, I thought he was, am I wrong? Yeah, that's right. Okay. Yeah. I thought he was a rookie.
I was deferring to you because you do the sports.
Yeah, that's so, well. Yeah. Steve, I'm going to allow you to be the, you know, the hockey expert, even when I'm in here. I kind of trust your knowledge. It'll just drop more than mine. Let's be honest here.
No, I'll just give you the answers, and I'll go, Mark, what did I say?
Thanks, Steve.
What he said.
At 626, do we know what bar in it's in?
Well, there's a couple to choose from now. Probably Cam's. I would think Cam's.
Open it this hour?
What's the barbecue place down there that's
24 hours of a liquor license?
Well, it used to be La Bamba. That was the place everybody would kind of hang out until about 4 in the morning. Not me, of course.
It was on like the outskirts of town. You get like the smoky link. It was not this. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Blind Pig. Oh.
It's always a great radio tease when I talk about a place that I can't remember.
The one with the pig. Yeah.
Blind Pig was barbecue place, but they would also have live music, and they'd stay open late. So the townies would go there.
Well, if anybody, my point there. Is, if anybody spots Dave crying into his hooch this morning after last night's disappointment with Northwestern.
Poor Dave.
Joe's bar is more of a Dave Ennett bar because they have real glasses as opposed to the red Solo cups.
Yeah,
so I could see Ennett at Joe's bar.
I hope he's not at Cam's. If he is, he's stuck to the floor. That's why he can't get up.
That's they couldn't make it to work. All right, so here's the deal. Just text us in. We'll put up the Ennett map. We'll try to figure out where he is and get him home for safety.
Kind of like Where's Waldo? Where in the world is Dave Ennett?
We'll use old stick pins. We'll plot the points where he was last seen until we find him.
I'll make a little map of Champaign-Urbana.
Well, I think he's probably back, but I don't think he made it home yet. Northwestern's going to be just fine. Next game is when, Dave? Mark?
Dave, Mark, same. Saturday at Indiana. Little night contest in Bloomington.
Okay. They didn't make it easy because you believe they've got to win these last two now, right? Indiana and Purdue?
They got three left. They got Indiana, and they're home with Michigan.
Oh, I forgot about Michigan.
Yeah, and then they got Purdue. I think they got to win one. But seeding matters. Like it's not just about getting in here. Let's do something. So
yeah, so they could go from a 7 to what?
10?
Yeah, 10.
You know, it just changes things. I mean, it's not huge, but I would think you'd rather be the 7 than the 10. You don't want to get in the 8-9. Let's think that way. Then you play the 1 seed in the second round.
Well, you also could end up somewhere in the West.
Right. And there's games in Indy. There's games in Milwaukee. You'd rather be close to home. Wildcat fans, let's travel. Come on now.
Yeah, to make it easier for fans to travel, to be sure. And there's a new region this year. There's the Guam region, where teams that are really on the bubble, they just send them to Guam. It's 6:29. We'll come back, get your big story, and tell you what else is coming up in a second. First, I just learned these chip-based credit cards we're using. Have you seen them?
Oh, yeah. Those are pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, chip-based credit cards. Mm-hmm. All part of a new type of fraud called account takeover. Last year, there was a 40% increase in bank account takeovers. Identity thieves called the bank, posed as you, and stole your personal data. Anybody had ID theft on the show?
No.
I've had it happen once.
I had a good friend who had her ID hacked.
Yeah.
Big time.
I had mine stolen. Ross had his stolen recently. John, you had yours, right?
I did, a couple of months ago.
Yeah. I had my ID stolen 2 or 3 years ago. Then I finally got smart and I got LifeLock. I thought I was a genius. I had credit monitoring. Oh, that was doing me a lot of good. Guy knocking on my window. I'm watching. Well, they're nothing other than watching. Who needs that?
There was just a story from yesterday that they found a gas station skimmer at one of the south suburbs. The guy, whoever
I've
the thief
into a,
was,
I've gotten into.
Left it.
It must be fun to watch on bank camera video. I've gotten into a habit. Wherever I do the credit card, and that's all day long, I will thumb the credit card slider to make sure that they haven't attached a skimmer to the bottom of it. Because those things are invariably attached, you know, with a strip of Velcro or tape on the back, and they're temporary. So you can come in and you can grab the skimmer. And I'll run my thumb under there to make sure there's no skimmer attached. In other words, if there's a loose piece to where you're sliding your credit card in, it's taking an image of your credit card so it can actually steal your number.
So instead of no strings attached, you make sure there's no skimmer attached.
Right. That's the old saying, no skimmer attached.
Are you an undercover MacGyver type of talented dude?
Yeah, I really am.
I mean, I never had that on you, Steve, but like now, whatever you just said, that was big time.
Don't mistake the sleepy look for not paying attention. If LifeLock detects your information is being used, they send you an alert. Free credit monitoring, as I said, only alerts you to changes in credit, and it's creepy when they look in your window. Nobody can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock's the best there is. A membership start at $9.99 a month, plus applicable taxes. Go to LifeLock.com or call 800-LIFELOCK. Use the promo code LIFELOCK. For 10% off your LifeLock Ultimate Plus membership, go to LifeLock.com and save 10% now. And we're back after this.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Ah, voicemail. Remember when you used to get excited about voicemail? There was a decade called the 80s where he'd come home and if the light was flashing on something called the answering machine, it would be a really big deal and you knew you were somebody. Now, if you look on your phone, your smartphone, and you have messages, generally the reaction is, ugh, I gotta check those?
I know.
I gotta listen to those? And then a couple days go by and you go, what if that person is a hostage? I probably should have checked that message. So yesterday, I talked to Sandberg several times a day because she produces the program, and I inadvertently deleted a message afterwards from her that turned out to have nothing to do with what we had previously discussed. Now, you're telling me, and you would be willing to testify to this under oath, you actually complimented me and the show.
I did.
Okay, now before you tell us what the compliment is.
I won't tell you the compliment, but when I spoke with you last night around 7:30, I said, did you listen to my voicemail? And you said no. And he goes, I'll listen to it tomorrow at 5 a.m. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, well, at 7:30, I got a lot going on. this morning, when I went to check the message that you recommended I listen to, it wasn't there because I erased it. I admit that. I admit that under oath. I erased it. My mistake, to be sure. But in the year that you've worked for me, have you ever complimented me or the show?
Rarely. If
I don't think it's happened. I don't think it's happened.
It's funny because we all get compliments.
Do any of you remember a compliment about the show from Sandberg? Let me go to Jake on this first. Jake, do you remember a compliment? Nope, apparently Jake does not. Andre, to you.
I have a compliment.
No. Not a compliment from you. A compliment
no.
from Sandberg.
Yeah. Mary, at least once a week, will say I look nice.
Well, it's very nice, but it's not related to the show.
Well, I'm part of the show. I kind of take it as I'll share my compliment.
Vanderbilt, you ever been complimented by Sandberg?
I have. Sure.
Oh, you have?
Oh,
about
yeah.
About your work on the air, though?
I guess not.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Wow.
Grzanich, you ever gotten a compliment from Sandberg?
Many times.
Give me an example of one.
You said good show. She used to say good show to me every morning as
well,
I walked out.
Well, that's because she didn't want to have a long conversation with you.
Well,
that
key,
before the show
word,
or after?
Wait, the key word being used to.
Used to, right. Yeah, she's not my producer anymore.
Today, the only thing I told him was that I have to leave before him because he parks so close to the line that he's not going to be able to get in his car.
Yeah, that's not a compliment.
Yeah, only because Mark Carmen parked next to me, so yeah, I'm going to actually climb through the back gate of my car.
Well, okay. Well, good luck to all of you. John DeCoste, you ever been complimented by Sandberg?
Oh, God, yes. She was very nice and said, I'm a pain in the ass.
Yes. Yeah, amongst other things that can't be repeated here.
And you are, John.
So what was the compliment you left?
The compliment was, yesterday, you actually made me laugh really hard during the show.
Hold on a second. Pause there. I love the fact that you put in the word actually. You actually made me laugh.
What I did say in the message is, during the show, I'm busy trying to keep everything on track.
Right.
So I'm not
our
really...
only hope.
I'm not really in a fun-loving mood during the show in general. And I said, I don't usually point out something good because I'm busy scaring everybody.
Can you say what you pointed out? Or?
Yeah, the funny thing he said was when he had Dean on, and Dean was talking about Lisa Marie Presley, about how she's always been surrounded by people that just say yes, and she had all this money, and so sometimes that leads to problems. And Steve said, yeah, I know how that goes, and then you end up in the White House.
Yes, that was very funny.
And I laughed really hard, but then I probably had to get mad because we were running late, and so I wasn't able to convey it at the time, but... I wanted to make sure, because I don't ever say anything nice, that I actually say.
What are the chances you'll ever leave a compliment message again?
Well, not good now that you delete. First of all, when I told you at 7:30, you said, I'll listen to it tomorrow at 5 a.m. I'm like, well, that's different. But
She said she wanted to go, you're done, man. Yeah. I'm never leaving anything for you again.
That worked out well. Anyway, thank you. Oh, she's walked away from the microphone. Thank you, Sandberg, for actually finding the show funny.
No. Not the show. That one part.
Yeah, that's true. And she's been here a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the 1 year gift paper?
I don't know, but she doesn't like to celebrate, a milestone. So we're going to make it very uncomfortable for her and have a big anniversary shindig.
I think the 1 year is paper, which is completely ironic because the state's running out of paper.
Yeah. Yeah, but Sandberg's not.
No.
I'm going to do like an origami thing for her. You know, because that's what I do in my spare time when I'm not listening to voicemail.
You'll actually leave paper crumbs everywhere. Don't do that.
Oh, really?
Because you know how she is about crumbs and stuff.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
That might actually put her over.
Karen Travis from ABC on the Trump immigration plan. Stand by for that.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Everybody who is here illegally is subject to removal at any time. That is consistent with every country, not just ours. If you're in this country in an illegal manner, that obviously that there's a provision that could ensure that you be removed. But the priority that the president has laid forward and the priority that ICE is putting forward through DHS's guidance is to make sure that the people who have committed a crime or pose a threat to our public safety are the priority of their efforts.
Karen Travis from ABC News standing by. It's easy to panic as soon as you hear even headlines about this story. What are the facts?
So this is making good on a promise that Donald Trump said many times on the campaign trail. He promised an overhaul of the nation's immigration policies, and he said he was going to speed up efforts to deport criminals. That was something that the Obama administration was also focusing on, serious criminals. But these new guidelines from the Department of Homeland Security do go a step further, maybe several steps further. Anyone who's convicted of any criminal offense that could include driving without a license
jaywalking.
Yeah, could be subject to deportation. Also, people charged but not convicted could be targeted. And anyone that an immigration officer deems a risk to public safety also could be targeted for deportations. Now, the question then, of course, is this mass deportations? And the White House says no. This is still a focus on those that pose a risk. And we want to do it more quickly than the Obama administration. But that's not sitting easy with some immigration activist groups.
Well, and to be fair, if there are drug dealers and gang members that are caught, they should be deported. And President Obama deported a giant slew of them.
Record number.
Having said that, charged but not convicted, that's not how we do things in this country.
Yeah, that was an interesting item in these memos that were signed by the Secretary of Homeland Security. And, you know, they're also trying to do this faster. You know, in the past, if you were arrested within 2 weeks of arriving here, your deportation was sped up.
Right.
You know, makes sense. Now, if you are arrested and you've arrived here within 2 years, you could be facing expedited deportation. So it's just a much larger group that is now in focus. Then, of course, the question is, how is this going to be done? I mean, this is a very significant effort that would require a lot of manpower. The administration says they want to hire 15,000 new immigration officers and Border Patrol agents. They want to enlist local police officers to help with deportations. But right now, it's unclear how that's all going to be paid for. And, of course, that's a very big sticking point these days in Washington.
Yeah, especially with a $20 trillion deficit already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good morning, Karen. Locally here in Chicago, the Cook County Sheriff's Department has already said we've not been approached, nor would we be interested in participating in this program. They have too many other things going on here that they're not going to participate. So I guess my first question to you is, how does that work? Is it going to be an order like, yes, you need to do this, you need to follow this, otherwise, you know, you could face charges?
So right now it's that they will be asking local law enforcement. But I think you're going to see that happening in other places, not just Chicago, where local municipalities say, like, we just have too much going on and we're not getting any extra money for this. And this is a federal issue. You guys handle this. So I won't be surprised if you see that not just in the places that have been deemed sanctuary cities, but just other places that say this is not our job.
Yeah, and my follow-up to you, Karen, was that Mexico now is saying, we're not ready for this. You know, you can't just drop someone off with, like I said to Steve earlier, a little a backpack, and here you go, you're done. You have to find family. So Mexico's reaction, they're not ready, are they?
No, and the timing of this is all very interesting because the Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, he's going to be at the White House today for a meeting with the president. And then he heads to Mexico, where he's going to sit down with Mexican President Peña Nieto. Now, it's no secret that U.S.-Mexican relations are very strained right now because of Mr. Trump's plans to build a wall on the U.S. southern border and his insistence that Mexico pays for it. Something that was in these guidelines yesterday is also now causing a lot of controversy south of the border. There was the part of this said that anybody who is picked up and deported will go to Mexico, even if they're not from Mexico. So Central American undocumented immigrants would be returned through Mexico, since that's where they came through to get to the United States. No surprise, the Mexican government is not thrilled with this, and they're concerned that this could set up refugee camps right across the border, or just a massive flood of people coming back over that they're not prepared or expected to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair concern by Mexico, but I guess I'm less concerned about the Mexican government's problems than I am about the way we're behaving and acting. For instance, yesterday, the refugees welcome sign that went up on the Statue of Liberty for a few minutes and eventually went viral. You know, we see text this morning, and you certainly heard it yourself, I'm sure, and people last night going, it should say legal refugees welcome. There's a disconnect between the term refugees and non-documented citizens or illegal aliens, whatever term you want to use. Refugees are people who are on the run from the place they would have liked to have stayed. There's a vast difference there.
And they've gone through the system. I mean, there's an 18-month to two-year process for a political refugee. You know, the president likes to tweet and say that people are just flooding into the country from some of these areas in the Middle East. It's not true. I mean, you can't go through the process without doing 12 steps of background checks, medical checks, history checks, all of that. Where that's a different issue entirely from people coming across the Mexico-U.S. border illegally, or people who've been in this country, the 11 million undocumented immigrants by the latest counts.
Yeah, and there's so many layers to this, but before we let you go, these non-criminal parents that have kids that are not 18 or 21 yet, what's the deal there? We know that the kids are not going to be pulled out, but are we going to see families of teenagers where the parents are sent?
You know, the White House has said, and President Trump has said, they don't want to break up families. But it was interesting, as we went through these guidelines yesterday, that the DREAMers, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, the DACA program that the president put in place, President Obama, back in 2012, that was not mentioned. So the question then to the White House was, does that mean the president is not going to move forward on eliminating DACA like he promised on the campaign trail? He called it unconstitutional. The White House says it's not settled yet. Just because it wasn't eliminated yesterday doesn't mean it might not be coming. But I have to say, we went back and looked at a lot of the statements the president has made about these DREAMers, and his evolving rhetoric is really striking. He told ABC's David Muir last month that the DREAMers shouldn't be very worried. He said last week, we're going to show great heart. DACA is a very difficult subject for him. And he said, you know, it's very difficult because of these incredible kids. So I think if you look at how the president's talking about this, I wouldn't be surprised if that is put on hold or just left alone entirely while they focus on other deportations and immigration guidelines.
One of the things that Trump does that really, again, reinforces the fact that he's his own worst enemy is rolls this stuff out like a tough guy, like a bully. People panic and assume the worst of him and assume the worst of the administration, as opposed to taking the time to do it right and explaining it before you hit people over the head with it.
I think there's also a difference of campaign trail rhetoric and then the reality of governing. I mean, this is a perfect example of this. It's very easy to stand up before a crowd and say, we're going to get rid of DACA and, you know, these 750,000 people who have legal work permits now, we're going to stop issuing those work permits and they're all going to expire and that's it. It's unconstitutional. And then when you actually look at what the impact is on the economy and consider President Obama's warning to the president after the election of, you know, these kids did nothing wrong, don't focus on them. Focus on the ones you need to focus on. It becomes a much more muddled issue, perhaps, for Mr. Trump, and just not the priority that he indicated it would be as a candidate.
Yeah, and this has a lot of parallels with the beginnings of Obamacare and different things, where if we just go and say we're going to fix the problems we have, as opposed to creating something dramatic and new, what he's saying here and what he said on the campaign trail do differ. But if you go and get the drug dealers and the gang members, you're not doing anything different than Obama did. And he did it by the millions.
Right.
So just say you're going to continue it and you're going to be better at it.
Right, right. And say, yeah, we'll expand this. We'll do it faster. Because, you know, I think you get to the point of the people here are that we're talking about are not documented. You know, they have already committed that crime. So focus then on the ones that seem to be the top priority, not necessarily these kids or working adults who've gone to college and have lived here their whole life.
Thank you, Karen. I appreciate it.
Have a great day.
Karen Travers, at Karen Travers, T-R-A-V-E-R-S, on social media from ABC News. News next.
Guess what day it is.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
713, Northwestern loses last night to the Illini. As Mark Carmen's telling you, Mark's in for Dave Innett, who can't be consoled right now. He's rocking back and forth in the fetal position, but he's going to be fine. And so are your fighting purple with three to go. More on the Northwestern situation as the morning continues. I'll get Adam Brown in here. Adam Brown can talk about JDR. Our friends at JDRF, you know, this goes back to the days of the Ron Santo walk, and through all those years where Santo raised millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. And I'm telling you, as a friend of Ron Santo's, and his family would back me up on this, and so would everybody else that did, anybody else that knew him even better. He would have traded a Cubs World Series for a cure for juvenile diabetes. You may say, well, of course he would. Well, no, you have to understand how much Ron Santo loved the Cubs.
Yeah, I was willing to argue on that one for a second. Are you sure?
A positive. Positive. I saw him with kids, eye to eye, kids whose parents weren't old enough to have known Ron Santo as a player.
Yeah.
Who had such love and respect for Santo and what he did and how much the cause of JDRF meant to him. And, you know, he would always tell him, he would always say, get down with him, eye to eye, and he'd say, listen to your doctors, listen to your parents, do what they tell you. And he'd point at the legs he didn't have anymore. Right. And he'd say, you don't have to end up like this.
There were four walk sites and still are. And Ron would sit there. You remember this. We were at the walks. And he would sit there and sign autographs and take pictures. And his handlers would say, come on, time to get to the next site.
He'd
say,
he
no.
Leave.
I have to stay here and take a picture and talk to every kid who's in line for
me. Yeah, he would not leave a kid behind.
He's the best.
We played golf on Sunday with a gentleman that grew up in the neighborhood with Ron Santo, and he said that they would all be playing in the yard on Cub game days, and Ron would come out and say, hey, do you guys want to go to the game? And he'd say, ask your moms. And they'd ask their moms, and he'd say, okay. So then they'd pile into Ron's car. They would drive down. He would get them tickets.
This is when he was a player?
As a player. He would play. And then they
like
would
the station wagon.
They would meet at his car after the game, and he'd bring them all home. And he's like, everything he dealt with, he just liked doing it for the kids.
I love little kids.
Yeah, he said all the
love
time.
Love little kids. That's a great story, though. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, right.
First off, how cool is it you're living next door to Ron Santo, and then he comes out and goes, hey, kids, you want to go to the game?
And you pile in the car. How cool is that?
That's hilarious.
I'd say as far as going out to Cub games and covering, the highlight of the whole thing was getting to sit with Ronnie back in the day and just talk whatever it was. It's just so welcoming and just enjoyable, funny, the whole deal. Loved him.
Yeah. For those of us who were blessed to have spent any time with him, but to be in the booth with him during a Cubs game was crazy. But it's what you said, too. When you would see him at these, every year JDRF does this thank you for the volunteers, this big, it's kind of a holiday season. I think they do it in January now, but it's a dinner. And these little kids who would come up and, you know, take a picture with Ron mm-hmm. and talk to him. I mean, for the little kids to understand who he was and how important he was, I give credit to the parents for that.
Yeah.
But all of that JDRF experience had almost nothing to do with baseball. Sure, they're Cub fans, but it had everything to do with a guy who was famous, who wanted to take his time to do whatever he could so these kids wouldn't have to go through what he went through. And if anybody who is blessed enough to have healthy limbs and a healthy family, if you've ever seen this old Cub, just a crushingly honest portrayal of what he went through every day as the disease took its greater toll.
While he was a player.
Well, as a player, he was the first professional athlete in any of the major sports who was a type 1 diabetic and talked about it. Eventually, there's a story too from Glenn Beckert, which is great. Glenn Beckert. Beckert was in a slump, and Beckert was Ronnie's roommate. And Beckert wakes up, and the bathroom light's on. And he gets up, and Santo's not in bed. He gets up, and the door is just slightly open, and Beck looks in, and Santo is giving himself an injection. Well, he can't sleep the rest of the night. And he gets up in the morning for breakfast, and Santo goes, yeah, and he's in a horrible mood. He goes, Beck, you got to get some sleep. He goes, listen. This is Glenn Beckert to Santo. Listen, I haven't had a hit in a week. I don't care what it is. I want some of it.
Oh, no.
So that's what he had to tell him what the injections were.
Yeah.
Because he had to hide them. He had to carry around these needles and stuff. Mm-hmm. Because back then, players were dispatched, man. Yeah. And even somebody as great as Ron Santo, the Cubs probably would have been hard-pressed to keep him with an honest type 1 diagnosis when he first got it in the 60s.
Right.
So he's a hero. Is the point of this long monologue. He's a hero to everybody at JDRF, and we're going to talk with Adam from JDRF in a second. Let's get traffic first. 7:23, somebody else texted, said, tell the Mazur hairpiece story. Andy Mazur did not get a hairpiece, but he was really a big help to Ron on the road after the surgeries became a regular part of his life. And at one point, Ron called him in a panic because he couldn't find his gamer, and they had to go to the game. The funniest thing to me always, too, is unless it was a special occasion, he'd put the hairpiece on, but then he put a hat on.
Right.
The hat on over the hairpiece. But he couldn't find it. And Annie went down to his room, and they're turning the room upside down to find it. Can't believe it. He sees a FedEx box on the dresser. He goes to move the FedEx box, and the FedEx box has hair. The hair piece had stuck to the tape on the FedEx box underneath. And it was just, you know, so he had to pull them apart, and they gave it to him, and Ron put it on when they left.
And wasn't there another one, too, where he burned his hair? He burned the hair on the heat lamp?
At the old Shea Stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ron was a tall guy and got taller after he got the new legs because he insisted on it. But he stood up, and Pat Hughes had to reach up and smack his head. And I think he, if I remember right, he knocked the gamer off, but there is a heater, overhead heater, that singed his hairpiece. Yeah. Maybe that's why he wore the hat nonstop after that, right? The incident. We'll do the Hawks replay coming up. Hawks, big winners last night in Minnesota. That's 7 in a row on the road?
That's correct.
That's a pretty good number, man.
You're making me think of when Harry asked him if he wore the hairpiece in bed.
That's a great video. You've never seen Harry Carey laugh that hard.
It's so good. He's like, I wear a hat, Harry.
Harry almost had a grabber. Adam Brown standing by. And Adam, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thanks for hanging on. But, you know, once we get off on Santo, it's hard for us to shut up.
No, understood.
Tell me what you do for JDRF.
So I work at a place called Diatribe, and what we do is write about all the things happening in the field of diabetes and share it with people with diabetes. And often the things we're writing about are things that JDRF is doing in terms of new research, new devices they're funding, things like that. So,
and do you know someone who is type 1?
Ah, you're speaking to one.
Oh, okay. So you know what you're talking about, obviously.
Yeah.
When were you diagnosed?
2001, so a little over 15 years as a 12-year-old, and it's a lot for a 12-year-old to take on. And what's interesting is how much the tools have improved since way back then. So, you know, we didn't have devices like continuous glucose monitors that literally is a sensor that sits into your skin and gives you a glucose reading every 5 minutes and a trend arrow. And so, you know, Ron didn't have anything like that, and it's kind of a remarkable advance for feeling ownership over the condition, feeling like you could do something about it.
Did they even have the pump in 2002?
They did. Not many people were on it. Actually, Miss America, I think in 99, drove a lot of people to get pumps.
Okay.
But that part of the field hasn't grown as much as CGM in the past few years.
But it is a good piece of medical equipment, right? My understanding anyway.
Yes, it is. And what's exciting is actually pairing those two. So taking that glucose reading every 5 minutes and then automatically directing insulin dosing, especially overnight. And JDRF was really instrumental in working with FDA, getting that approved, and then developing guidance to get it approved. And then the first one was approved last fall, so should be launching this spring, which is really exciting.
Adam, haven't the advancements gotten really better, too? One of my best friends in college would have to inject herself. Her insulin shots, I think, were 4 times a day. Now she's down to, I think, two in a pill or maybe 1 in a pill. But the advancements have gotten better, haven't they?
So the medicine's better?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The insulins are more stable. So even back when I was diagnosed, you know, NPH insulin was a very unstable insulin. So people could easily, you know, end up in severe hypoglycemia in the hospital, in a seizure. And now the insulins are a lot flatter, meaning you can take it once a day and it's pretty flat. So it'll kind of take care of your glucose for the 24-hour period. So yeah, tons of advances in the past 10 years. And it's been incredible to watch.
So for people that are going through it as a matter of a recent turn in their life, as opposed to someone like you who's been dealing with it for the last 15 years, and, you know, you're a man now, and you started out as a kid, and you know how this affects you day to day. What sort of, you know, it's going to be okay advice would you give to parents or even kids that are listening?
Yeah, I think a lot of the messaging around diabetes is really negative. So it's, you know, you have this chronic disease. You're going to get diabetes complications if you don't take care of it. You'll get blindness. You'll get amputations. And that is generally not a very motivational message for people.
Right.
It's a lot of fear. It's a lot for a kid to take on. And so, you know, what I wish someone had told me was, hey, when your blood sugar is in range, Adam, you're actually a better athlete. you do better in school. You're kinder to other people. And you were kind of touching on some of those pieces in your opening monologue about Ron. But, you know, I think giving people the reasons why that are not fear-based, and also making them realize that there are tons of successful people who've just mastered this disease and done amazing things with it, athletes and celebrities, and that's something that you can do too.
That's a great point. It's a great point. Tell me about the summit Saturday.
So JDRF's holding the summit. It's called Type 1 Nation. And what's awesome about JDRF is they really started as a research funding organization, have been really trying to focus more, too, on education and support. And so on Saturday, they have a summit for people with Type 1 and caregivers to just share what's happening, to give advice and tips. So I'll be doing a talk on the latest in technology, as we were touching on earlier. There'll be talks on exercise and managing type 1, which can be a bit tricky. Talks on finances and the mental side of diabetes. And, it should be great. It's at McCormick, and it's from 8 to 3.
Details on Diatribe on that, I assume?
On JDRF.org/Illinois is the best place to find out about it.
All right. Well, thanks for the work you're doing at Diatribe.org.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
And I appreciate you being on. Nice young man there, right?
Very nice. Right? And again, the advancements the work is getting done. And the money is going toward more research and more, hopefully, a cure.
And support the walk. A lot of people, the farther we get away from Ron's passing, you get concerned that people wouldn't come out to the walk in the same numbers. They're still great numbers, but certainly they could use more. We've got plenty of time between now and October to plan for it.
Absolutely.
In 4+ locations. All right, 7:30. Back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
Yeah.
This is where I do the dance in the Showcase Studio, where I kick my legs up out of a squat. I'm in a full squat, kicking my legs forward right now for the enjoyment of the people on Michigan Avenue. Is this the song? All right, keep this cranked up. This is a song called A Man Like Putin. It's also called Someone Just Like Putin. All right, when do you hear the lyrics of this little gem? As Vladimir Putin is on everybody's mind at one extent or another, mostly on President Trump's mind as he closes his eyes at night and he imagines later in life when they'll have time together in the Dells. Every winter since 2002, when people go to karaoke clubs in Moscow, which they have plenty of, the number one requested song is A Man Like Putin, which you heard the clip of there. It was done by a group called Singing Together. These are two girls who are studio musicians who were put together. The songwriter is a guy named Alexander Yelin, and he won $300 in a contest to see if he could write a hit song, and this song became a hit almost instantly. It's called Someone Like Putin or A Man Like Putin, depending on your translation. He said he was trying to come up with the right message. He knew if he came up with the right message, he could have a hit song. And the struggle he had was, what can a girl sing about? This is him talking. Alexander Yelin's words. What can a girl sing about? She can't sing that Putin is great. That'd be stupid and it wouldn't be funny. But she can sing that everything around her sucks and she needs a man like Putin.
Oh, yeah.
Woof.
Of course.
So...
Jeez, and I like the song.
Is there a video, too?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
There is a video. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and the reason I know about this is John Oliver from Last Week Tonight, which the show I highly recommend. Highly funny. Of course, if you're a hardcore Trump supporter, it's not going to be funny to you at all. But it's Sunday nights on HBO. So John Oliver did a segment of this on Sunday night because I didn't know this song existed. And it's hard for me to say I understand a woman in Russia because I've not been a woman in Russia. Certainly, I've been a woman here on the weekends.
Well, you understand women in America, though.
Oh, yes. Yes. Much better than most.
Yeah.
All right. So do me a favor, Jake. Play it again, I'll read the lyrics over this. And I'm not making this up. These are the actual lyrics to A Man Like Putin. My boyfriend got drunk and played the fool again. He fought and ended up eating dust. I've had enough of him, so I sent him away. And now I want to meet someone like Putin. Someone just like Putin, full of strength. Someone like Putin, a man who doesn't drink. Someone like Putin who won't offend me. Someone like Putin that won't run away. And we dance! I saw him in the news just yesterday. He was speaking about how the world's at a crossroad. Who puts crossroad in a pop song?
Oh, I've done that.
Well, you are the musical director of the show.
Yes.
These lyrics are riveting.
I saw him in the news just yesterday. He was speaking about how the world's at a crossroads.
I'm feeling her.
When a man like him, it's easy to stay home and to go visiting. Again, translation can be a little dicey here. And now I want to meet someone just like Putin. And in case you missed it, someone like Putin, full of strength. Someone like Putin who doesn't drink. Someone like Putin. Now we dance! Someone like Putin who won't offend me. Someone like Putin who won't run away. Someone like Putin, full of strength. Someone like Putin who won't drink. He won't offend me. He won't run away. Full of strength, doesn't drink. Won't offend me, won't run away. Full of strength, doesn't drink. He won't offend me, won't run away, and so on and so on.
You know, it's a very catchy tune, but what I hear is like, you know, cold cuts and Putin, Yaka Smirnov, cold cuts and Putin, Yaka.
Ah, what a country.
Does Putin not drink for real?
He drinks what he wants to drink.
Okay.
Oof. And the next time you ask that question, you're going to end up, in another city without a phone or any way to contact us. But first, we dance!
Kick your legs. Come on, Steve.
7:45. Just out of traffic, Mary, John and I have another show coming up in Arlington Heights. This, of course, is an Iceman production, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And when will that be?
That will be April 8th at 7:30, Saturday, April 8th.
We're going to do A Man Like Putin. We're going to do it live. You know, it was a duo.
Oh.
It was these two women that did this. We're going to do the English version of A Man Like Putin.
Oh, that would be good.
Actually, we should do it. All right, so where is it? Kokots
and Putin, Yakov Smirnov.
Why don't you just do A Man Like Trump?
Yakov Smirnov.
Are you going to get your new knees before that?
Yeah, I'm going to have to. Yeah.
New knees for Cochrane.
Actually, John Oliver did do A Man Like Trump.
A Man Like Trump,
yeah. It's a John Oliver bit. All right, so where are we again?
We are at the Metropolis. The Metropolis Theater. That's where we go to.
Oh, my God. It's my grandfather. He's back.
I know. The Metropolis Theater, downtown Arlington Heights, April 8th at 7:30 with our lovely Andrea Darlis, also performing stand-up comedy. You and I as well.
Amongst other things.
That's right.
Apparently
that's
now
April 8th, 7:30.
Now I'm going to be a part of someone like
going to be
Putin.
A dancer behind a man like Putin.
But you can go to metropolisarts.com or call the box office directly at 847-577-2121. And tickets are really going really
fast. They are.
So I did the up.
And it's going to sell out.
Yes, yes. An Iceman.
Let's do the Express because we love to beat it like a dead horse. Sponsored by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. Big win for the Hawks last night. Let's listen again.
The Chicago Blackhawks ride their season-long six-game road win streak here into the land of 10,000 lakes, looking for number seven. It's a shot, hit traffic in front, they score! Jonathan Toews on the doorstep looking for a loose puck, and he found one. He strokes it in behind Dubnyk for the game's first goal. The Hawks lead 1-0. Niederreiter's got the puck in the Hawks zone against the right boards. They're grinding on top of the right circle, then in front of the net, he redirects it on goal, they score! Toews behind the net, the panic in front, he shoots, he scores! Richard Panic with a laser shot into the top shelf, past Devin Dubnyk. Off the draw, shot, they score! Nick Schmaltz from the top of the left circle! A clean face-off win from Toews. Schmaltz grabbed it at the top of the ring, stepped into the slot and ripped it past Dubnyk. Guess what? It's 3-1 Hawks. Scandella fires a shot, they score! It was redirected in the left circle by Schmaltz in the right wing corner. Races behind the wild net. Fed it to Toews. Right circle. Shoots. He scores! Jonathan Toews with a backhand little flip. It just chipped over the top of Dubnyk's pads and into the back Wild nets, 4-2 Hawks. Koivu fires, redirected on goal, turned wide by Crawford, then they score. And there are several Wild players around the Hawk net, and I believe Mikhail Gremlin may have tipped this one past Crawford. It's a power play goal, and the Wild have fought back once again. Trail 4-3. Front stop, Tay's got it back, shooting toward the empty net, he scores! A hat trick for the captain, Jonathan Toews, with an empty net goal, and that'll put this one away. The Blackhawks lead the Wild 5-3 with 1:02 left in the third period. Joel Quenneville picks up his 400th win behind the Blackhawks bench as a head coach as the Blackhawks come to Minnesota and extend their road winning streak to 7 games with a 5-3 victory over the Minnesota Wild. And Jonathan Toews caps it off with another 5-point night, including a hat trick.
That's a message, bitch. Go into your rival's house and put up a hat trick and you're the captain. Great night for Taser, and great night for the Blackhawks, and congratulations, Q, on his 400th coaching win. Next time Q's on, we're going to have him go through all 400.
That's a good idea.
So, be tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning, Q goes through. Tune in tomorrow, and Coach Q reviews all 400 of his NHL coaching wins.
It was interesting after the game last night. Taser's talking about confidence, Steve. Like, well, you know, you start seeing some in, you start feeling the confidence, it's more fun. You're Jonathan Toews.
Yeah.
Like, even that guy needs the occasional, hey, things need to
go boost.
Well. Right.
Yeah, without a doubt.
So for those of you who are not feeling the confidence, even the captain sometimes doesn't feel it.
And you don't want to play the Hawks now?
No, you don't.
That's for sure. Owen Mahan, our buddy Owen Mahan, I want to remind you again that we have his address. We put it up on social media. And if you drop him a note or you contribute to his GoFundMe page, consider yourself a direct line to heaven. Owen Mahan is a little boy who was abused. He's adopted by an amazing woman, a single mother, with a bunch of kids. And Owen loves to open mail. He's had 48 surgeries. He's only 9 years old to deal with severe burns on his body. And we put his address up so you could drop him a note. You could also contribute to his GoFundMe page. Owen, M-A-H-A-N, is an easy search for it as well.
It's almost up to $11,000 now.
So thank you, listeners, because listeners of this show have been the ones that have boosted it. Also want to remind you, Spot the Purple, after the 9 o'clock hour, I shouldn't say in the 9 o'clock hour, the CLTV hour, either on the video stream at WGNradio.com, click watch, or watch us on CLTV, which I hope you do every day. When you hear the cat roar, you will be able to be the seventh caller and tell us where you see the purple in the studio. Not now, later. When you see the purple, be the seventh caller when you hear that cat roar after 9 o'clock. And you will be able to pick up a bunch of prizes from us. Okay? And we have some Northwestern stuff we're supposed to be giving away, too, or is that not today? Okay, we're giving away Dave Bennett's wallet.
Go Cats.
Good. Yeah. It should be lunch at, you know, Chop House for all of us.
7:50. Is that right? 7:57? Yeah, that's Central Time. 7:57. News coming up on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show. Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Dean's not feeling well today. Hey, hey, hey. But Andrea's here and she has a show business. What you got to say? Let's work through the list and then we have medical personnel being rushed to Dean's side right now.
He's okay, right?
Yeah, cold or whatever.
Oh, yeah, good.
And then I said, cool in the game. All right, so the Clooneys, what an attractive couple, George and Amal. She's how pregnant?
She is pretty pregnant. She's due in late spring. They're not releasing the
late spring. Well, late spring could be April, May, or June.
Late spring, I would say probably May.
So if, let's go with due. May, which means she's probably already about 6 months.
Yeah, she's probably 5-6 months right now.
And she's going to have twins?
She looks great. Yeah, they're expecting twins. They announced it. Actually, Matt Damon kind of broke that news. He let it slip to Kimmel.
That's right.
And then George Clooney did confirm that.
By the way, we have heard that Angelina Jolie, who appears in your report this morning, has agreed to adopt George Clooney's twins as soon as they're born. She wants to bring in more children into her universe.
She's having a little bit of a difficult
But we'll get to her
right
in a second.
We will, yeah. So George Clooney and Amal, they're jet setters. He has homes in Italy, all over the world. They say that they're not going to travel now until the babies are born. Once the babies are born, they will travel, and they want the twins to be jet setters at a very young age. But for now, and it really doesn't have a lot to do with her being pregnant, he says that they're trying to avoid danger, and they will no longer travel to dangerous countries. He's not going to go to South Sudan or Congo anymore, and Amal says that she is not going to Iraq anymore. She has family there.
Before people have the instinctive mocking.
Yeah.
I think it's a great choice.
I think so, too.
I think if you have kids, you stop riding your motorcycle without a helmet. If you have kids, you stop going out and getting loaded till 2 or 3 in the morning.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You have a responsibility to be alive to raise the children.
He said that when the kids are born, they have homes in Italy, of course, here in America, and in England.
Yeah, same here.
And right. So he said that they'll decide they're going to travel until it's time for the kids to go to school, and then they're going to settle down somewhere, Italy, America, or England.
I'm guessing it'll be here.
I'm thinking too.
But they're going to be schooled privately.
Yeah. You don't see them in public schools?
I hope they do. That'd be great. I don't know George Clooney at all. I've met him a couple times on the movie sets where I play his stunt double. But he's a great interview and by all accounts a good guy. And she seems, as the only woman to ever snare George, and I don't mean that in a negative way.
No.
He fell for a hook, line, and sinker. That they would have a chance to raise, I'm going to go way out on a limb here, to raise normal children.
I think so, too. And there's all kinds of rumors going on out there that they're expecting two boys, two girls, one of each. He says they absolutely do not know.
Matt and Damon.
And they don't.
Yes.
Or Matt and Ben. And they don't want to know. So they
wow, old school.
Element
I like
of
that.
Surprise.
Yeah, I like that.
So George and Amal going old school.
He's 55 and she's 39, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's
right. Exactly right.
That's aggressive, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, it's half plus seven, dude.
I mean,
half plus seven. He's over the number.
He is.
I mean, but 55-year-old for first time dad.
That part of it?
That's all.
I give him nothing but credit.
Okay.
I mean, I'm a 55-year-old grandfather.
Would you ever want to be a dad again?
Kind of is.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, Monday afternoon, Dad. I love. Here's a great thing about Abigail Grace. Everything. Back to you.
Okay. You can play with her and then you can go home.
It just reminds me so much of all the stuff I miss about my kids being little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except the changing of the diapers.
Even that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless she has bad split peas or something.
Yeah, whatever. But please don't bring that up again.
No, sorry about that. Speaking of family, Angelina Jolie, this is an interesting tidbit to the whole Brangelina divorce.
Uh-huh.
She opened up to the BBC. She's directing a new movie called First They Killed My Father. She directed and produced it.
Sounds hilarious.
It's about Cambodian genocide.
Oh, another laugh riot from Angelina Jolie.
It's a Netflix original told through the eyes of a child, though. That'll be somewhat interesting. Mm. Anyway, so she did an interview with the BBC.
In other words, on a Friday night, you could either go to the Cambodian massacre film told through the eyes of a child, or option B, punch yourself in the face.
Right.
Those would be your two options.
Gives new meaning to Netflix and chill.
Wow.
Anyway, yeah, so Angelina's speaking out to the BBC about the divorce with Brad. She said she's not going to give too many details, but she did confirm that the straw really broke the camel's back from this incident. Did you hear about this plane incident?
Yeah, she claimed that he'd lost it on the plane.
And hit.
He was menacing their oldest boy.
Maddox.
And that was it. Look, it sounds like he was completely out of line.
Right.
And it also sounds like they couldn't work it out. It happens, but why is she talking about it?
I don't know. She said it's very difficult to talk about. She did confirm that incident with Maddox on the plane was at the center of the whole incident. Things had been breaking down for quite some time. They'd only been married for 2 years at this point because they got married in 2014, but this incident happened. She says it was a very difficult time. I don't want to talk specifics about the incident.
No, I just want to keep bringing it up.
But that was what really forced her to file for divorce. Pitt, I should say, cleared of any claims of child abuse.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Brad Pitt generally, almost exclusively, has a sterling reputation as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for a guy that was a party boy for a lot of years.
Yeah.
For a guy that left Jennifer Aniston because he, in quotes, upgraded to Angelina Jolie. Look, there's two sides to every story. You know, and he's come out very, very, very angry against these accusations.
Right. And they had
of abuse. And what's the worst thing you can do in a divorce? I don't care who you are. Talk about how terrible the father or the mother is in front of the kids. Right.
No, absolutely. They now she says they're working on co-parenting. I think that means she's working on co-parenting. He's cleared of any cases of or any claims of child abuse. DCFS was actually investigating for a while. That's all put aside now, and they're trying to find out what's best for the kids as far as.
Well, I hope she's working on herself because she's four marriages in now, and she's got some issues.
Yeah, completely.
And I'm not defending Brad Pitt.
No, not at all. So that's the Brangelina news. Do you want the Oscar news, or you want to wait?
Yeah, let's take a break through traffic. Come back. You can give me the Oscar odds, and also what's in your swag bag.
Mm-hmm. My swag bag or the Oscar swag bag?
Well, you decide.
Okay.
8:19. Time for traffic, is Rick. Let's dance!
That'll be on Nick's show.
Yeah, ta-tas. Hollywood's biggest night, Sunday night. The Oscars. 6 minutes of actual content surrounded by fabulous gowns, some drama, and people saying thank you to people you don't know or will ever meet. But that's not until Sunday. Odds for Best Picture, please.
Odds for Best Picture. There's so many odds out there, Steve, but we are going right to the Wynn Las Vegas. The Race and Sports Book has set their odds for the Oscars 2017. Best Picture. Any guess which is the hands-on favorite?
La La Land.
La La Land, 1-5. Coming in at second, Moonlight. 12-1 odds. Manchester by the Sea, 15-1. And Hell or High Water, 20-1. Fence is 65-1.
That's surprising.
And the worst odds, Lion, 200-1.
All right, so give me the swag bag.
All right, let's do the
swag
bag.
The swag bag is not officially tied to the Oscars, but it's approved by the people who run the show.
Yes.
Motion Picture Academy of America, I believe.
Yes.
And then this is an outside company that produces these bags for all the award shows.
Yes, and this year they're calling it the Everyone Wins bag.
All right, so what's really in my bag?
Case. All right, what is in your bag? A couple of trips. First of all, a trip to the Lost Coast Ranch for 3 nights. A 5-night trip to the Koala Landing Resort at Poipu.
Where's your poo-poo?
That's in Hawaii.
Okay.
Gift cards to the Golden Door.
Okay.
All nominees.
Oh, that's a spa.
Yeah, all nominees get a week of total mind, body, and spirit renewal at the Golden Door. That cost $8,800 for
that. Yeah, once you get through the Golden Door, you never come back.
Yeah, it's true. All right, the Loving Psalm, that's a sommelier service.
Uh-huh. Oh, I'm sure bet Dave's not here.
There's also the Namira Monaco collection. Everybody loves bling this year. Every nominee gets a brooch valued at $1,000.
What if you're a dude?
You get a brooch valued at $1,000.
I suppose you give it away to somebody.
You get a brooch.
And what's the
and
total?
You get a brooch.
What's the, there's a million things in there. What's the total? The cheapest I saw was in the bag was a chapstick, literally a chapstick.
Well, there's a,
but because it's a Hollywood chapstick, it's $6.
There's, I have to tell you this real quick too. There's a vaporizer, a Haze Dual vaporizer. That's $250. And perhaps the two most interesting things on there that could tie for cheapest, the Dandy Patch, which is these little patches these that you put under your arms so you don't sweat.
Why are you showing me that?
The Dandy Patch. I'm just showing in general.
I haven't perspired in
so
years.
So you have a picture. And then the Sweet Cheek Cellulite Massage Mats.
Ooh, I would like those.
Yeah.
You don't need that.
Oh, I have cellulite. I would like those a lot.
Those mats each $100 a piece.
What, do you sit on them? What are they for?
You can lay on them or stick them to your buns.
What?
30-minute
what are they for?
It's a massage.
They massage.
You stick on your booty, and it massages.
Easy.
Wow.
Easy, pervert.
That's what
here
I'm
comes,
feeling.
That's yours.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
$100 a mat.
So it massages your butt?
Yeah, it's like a mat that you stick on your booty, and it massages your butt for 30 minutes.
But what is that? And that makes the cellulite go away?
Makes the cellulite go away, allegedly.
Is it cellulite or cellulite?
Cellulite.
Forget about the cellulite. It's all about the rubbing of the backside that's really the value here.
Can you go ahead and turn your own microphone off?
It is up to, it's over $500,000.
And you do have to pay taxes on the prizes you use.
Yes, you do.
Okay.
So there you go.
All right.
Swag bag.
Nice job.
Thank you.
Thanks for filling in for Dean. Speaking of Hollywood's Greatest Night, Hollywood's Greatest Morning is 1 week from today, right? Isn't the Stevie's next Wednesday?
Yes.
Yes. March 1st.
Next Wednesday, March 1st, the Stevie Awards, featuring musical director John DeCosta and awards based on the previous year in the show. So if you had a favorite moment, good, bad, or indifferent, and I just remind me, I had another Stevie, most likely to continue to text while they hate the show.
Yes.
And we'll just give out their cell number.
512.
614.
So the Stevie Awards, an annual award show like no other, next Wednesday morning. Well, since Sandberg's in here, yesterday, we're just minding our own business. We're not hurting anybody. And we get a scouting text from Sandberg, who apparently was standing in our window at home with binoculars, spying on our neighbors.
I was out in my yard looking at my neighbors.
With binoculars.
I had given you all the update when on my way to Mexico. I had some neighbors that were getting two beautiful pieces of equipment from Apt, a washer and a dryer, pedestal, eggshell colored.
Yeah.
That was a Saturday I was leaving
this
for
is
Mexico.
After we found out that you have two laundry rooms.
I have two laundry rooms.
And she was more excited about that than I think the trip to Mexico.
And Pat was like, we're going to Mexico. I was very excited to see the new washer and dryer. And so yesterday.
You know, I know people at Apt. If you want to just go and work there, as you know, after the show.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, look at her eyes.
I could do like so undercover happy. Mary.
But you wouldn't work. You can just gawk at
I
all
can
the
just
cool
gawk
things.
At the, yeah,
so do the neighbors mind that you're looking at their washer dryer?
Well, they were out in the yard, you know, because they were getting on the driveway, actually. And then, but yesterday, as Pat was leaving for work, he left for work. And then a second later, he called me and he goes, I can't believe I'm calling you about this. But those same neighbors, they're getting two new washer and dryers in like gray, a gray color. So a different color. So I don't know if they changed their minds.
Obviously.
Front loader, top loader.
Oh, these are front loaders.
Oh,
and they were doing the pedestals. So I ran, he said, so if you want to go get the mail, you could see it because he knew I was so excited. So I beelined out of the house and there they were. And I took that covert photo.
Right.
So they must.
What do you think people are saying about you in the other house?
I know. Some people want to see like scantily clad people in the
right, their neighbors
photos.
Walking
I see
around
a washer
naked.
And dryer out yeah. in the yard and the app truck, and I'm snapping a photo.
It was funny though. The text came. I had sent you guys a text saying, "Hey, they're
I know,
looking
you
for
were sending
Drew Peterson,
something about work,
something work." And then Mary sent this big long thing, and I thought, I think that's the longest text that Sandberg ever sent. And then your response, Cochran, was he said, "That's incredible." And I thought, is he talking about the washer dryer, or is he talking about Drew Peterson being on the loose?
Right. Well, Drew Peterson being on the loose, he's not actually on the loose. He's
no,
in custody.
He is.
Wives are safe all over Illinois. But I'm happy for you that you got another washer-dryer fix.
In the neighborhood, yeah. So, because I want the gray stackable in my upstairs washer laundry room, and I want to get those new eggshell ones for the basement one. So
you have two laundry, you have one upstairs and one in the basement, or one in the main level?
It's a ranch, so there's
where do you
one
do the dry cleaning? Do you have that in the garage?
We have two dry cleaners we use,
you
too.
You have two laundry rooms
depending
and a ranch?
Yeah.
Come on!
You know what? Wait, I'm going to make Mary's day. My family, there's two dry cleaners in our family.
Okay.
So we'll
they'll be happy. Yeah. So we do a lot of cleaning, but we do different things go to different dry cleaners. Can I just say something about the swag bag? You know, when people force you to take a bag of stuff you don't want? At a wedding, I got in a fight almost with a former relative because they had given us all a Limoges pear? That glass that's expensive.
Yeah.
And it was a pair, and it said Kate and Mark, a perfect pair. And each one was like $40, and that was your takeaway. And I didn't take ours because I didn't want it, because what am I going to do with this pair? And she tracked me down as we were leaving.
Said, where's yours?
Take your pair. And I'm like, I don't want the pair. Like, it's not my fault you spent $40 on your swag.
Right.
I don't want that pair in my house. So.
But could you take it to the car and throw it out later?
I probably could have.
Give it to somebody else.
Yeah, I didn't think to
well,
do
well,
that.
Well, does she know named Kate and Mark?
Kate and Mark.
That's true.
Because then it's a time thing, because then you got to go home, you got to find another Kate and Mark.
Right.
Covered up with something. Yeah.
You know, you do live on the same planet with the rest of us. You are aware of that, right?
I know.
There
but
are
you
certain
could,
rules you have
could
to follow.
You could have put one glass Kate in one laundry room, and then Mark in the other laundry room.
Can I tell you something my husband did really quick? The most romantic thing he could ever do for me.
We're
I
talking
up,
about Pat now.
Pat, yes.
Yes,
husband,
the husband
Pat.
You like.
This morning when I woke up, he he had folded a load of laundry.
Oh, wow.
Is today an anniversary or something?
I don't know, but it's like a delayed Valentine's Day gift. And usually he takes the clothes out of the dryer if he wants to do something, and he puts the pile on the counter. And then I've voiced some complaints because then they just become a wrinkly pile.
And you've voiced complaints?
I know. No. And he has said in the before, he goes, oh, I thought I was helping. I'm like, but that's not really helping. You're just like, I got to re-put it in the dryer to fluff it so I can fold
Here's
it.
Here's the thing.
So
if he folded the laundry, he apparently has tonight off.
He does.
Oh, yeah, okay. I think we know who's going to be in a good mood tomorrow. 8:32, we'll come back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
There's a guy who comes right to your workplace. He keeps a fake mustache inside his briefcase. But everyone he meets all know there ain't no cover for him to blow. They all just pray he won't be back tomorrow.
Who are we talking about?
Undercover John, Undercover John. A damage cause they will remember as they try to forget your name.
Text right, Steve. The more I listen to Sandberg, the more I'm convinced she's cray cray. Undercover John is here. Undercover John is here after another adventure. So far, you've done things like made pottery,
sold used cars. Yep.
What else did you?
Clean carpets.
So this week, you went out to one of the finest golf instructors in all of Chicago to learn how to teach the game.
Yes.
That you don't play.
That I don't play. That's right.
It seems like a leap to me. I'm trying to figure out, Andrea. There's a missing piece there. Let's see. It seems to me you would play golf.
Right.
Get proficient at golf
and then
before
teach.
You would teach golf.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Do you know when you're on the course and you do really well because you're not thinking about it?
Yeah.
And then when you start to think about it, that's when you
blow
it. So we're doing the same thing. I wasn't even thinking about what I was instructing, and I did great.
Well, let's bring your teacher
really?
In here to find out if that's true in any way, shape, or form. You want to introduce her?
Rachel, yes, and I always have this problem. I wanted to say I did this the day of your last name.
Teresa. Oh, let me get your mic on.
Yes,
sorry,
we'll
Rachel
put the mic on.
Teresa.
Yes, but I went back and forth with this before. So, we met in Bensenville, although you work out of Hinsdale as well.
Mm-hmm. Where do you teach?
I'm at the Hinsdale Golf Club.
Hinsdale Golf Club, beautiful Hinsdale Golf Club.
And also Silver Lake in Orland Park.
Also beautiful.
Oh, we didn't know. Okay.
And soon to be the Preserve at Oak Meadows.
Oh, yeah, they redid this whole golf course in DuPage County now.
You're going to be teaching out of your car.
Yeah.
Well, yes, they do.
That was the funny part because we probably could have gone to any of those three, but then when she texts me, I go, wait a minute, let me just clarify. This is the one that is four blocks from my house.
Yes. Yeah,
that lives, I could walk to, and I can't walk.
You pretty much live
there.
At White Pines.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
All right, so when was the last time you played golf?
It's like 2003, something like that.
Right. And the reason you gave it up is you were so good, you didn't think you needed any more help?
You know, once I was a scratch golfer.
Meant you scratch yourself when you play?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
Because I just, it gets sweaty.
I understand.
So, no, I just stopped. I just stopped.
So I give you credit for this. Going to get a golf lesson can be an intimidating thing. And Rachel, you know right away when somebody comes in for a lesson, if they're nervous or not, because generally they tell you all the things they want you to do, right? Right? It's not. Well, how do we fix whatever? They come in and go, yeah, I'm hooking it over here. I think if we just do this.
Rachel's very patient.
You have to be, don't you?
Yeah, you do. Absolutely. All teachers do.
You see, no matter what you're teaching. But if you see people at bad golf shots for an hour, don't you want to hit them?
No.
She's
never.
Very patient, yeah. Especially,
it's a hard game.
Especially when I start saying, why do I have to do that? Can I just do it my way? Can I hit the ball? Can I slice it?
Is Andre the only student you ever told don't ever come back again?
I am, see?
Yes.
Look. Just because I like my way.
Well.
I think I can work with my error.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right. All right. Well, let's start with your errors. What did you see in John's swing?
He has a great golf swing.
Wow.
Really,
oh, no, stop
really
that.
Good. I'm not kidding. I have a video to prove it. I'll show you later.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So he's a natural athlete.
Yeah.
He is.
All right. So did you take him through the normal steps you take a beginner through?
No.
No.
He skipped 101, 201, 301. We went right to 401.
Keep in mind, I'm instructing.
All right, so you're teaching.
I don't need anybody to instruct me when I'm instructing.
Now, I saw a clip of the video at a Day in DeCoste on YouTube, And it looks like he had him hitting the smash bag, the impact bag.
Yes, he was hitting the impact bag. I'm not sure what he was saying when he was hitting it.
It started off, she was teaching me how to hit it or how I was supposed to end up. Here's the weird part, and I apologize to you. I started to envision that it was your head, Steve.
Yeah.
And I did say some things that we probably should get rid of.
These are things you can't take back.
No. And I just was kind of kidding.
Uh-huh.
And
so,
lost it on the
And the point of the impact bag is what?
To make sure your hands are ahead of the club-headed impact.
Right. Right, yeah. Right. And how would you grade John in that skill?
An A for that position.
Yes.
Oh, very nice.
And he added a couple positions.
You know, I don't think I've ever gotten an A for any position. Can I just say that? In my whole life, I've never gotten an A in any position.
What positions
I'm
did
pretty
you
proud.
Add? You added positions? To
yeah, what positions? What,
like, you add, like a yoga position?
Or a ballet, like a plie? Or a
she's talking about when I was pounding the smash bag from the top.
Oh, no.
She is referring
wow,
to
he was
that.
Really, really angry.
She is referring to that.
All right, so what other things did you take him through?
Well, we used the impact ball. You know, that helps you to keep your arms together.
But that was a fun, such a funny moment. Let me just clarify. That's the one that I put. I couldn't hang on to it.
Right.
So here's
it does,
thing.
However, accentuate your cleavage beautifully.
I know. Yes. That's exactly what I thought.
I told him you'd say that.
Yes.
You did?
She did. Yes. Yes.
Probably
yes.
Not those exact terms.
Yes.
Though, right?
Yes. But here's the thing. So we are in the dome, and I let it drop, and it rolled out. Into the drive, she has to go running.
I had to sprint out and get it.
While people were hitting balls,
yes. Yeah. And I'm like, remember that time Rachel got hit? Remember that time? That was fun.
So the idea is you keep your forearms together closely enough that you can swing the club, so it's all one piece.
Oh, is that what that was for? Because I never kept
right?
them together.
Is that a fair description?
That's right. Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I think the final shot of that, the only thing that went was the ball. I think the ball flew up.
The other thing we saw just in a quick view of the video was you put him in the range picker. So if you could tell people what the range picker is?
It's the cart that drives around and picks up the golf balls on the range.
Right, drops them in the trailer in the back, and then the balls get washed. Call Nick. and then they're reused. How did he do in driving the range picker?
He was really good at that, too.
Yeah,
that was fun. That was fun. I was singing Home on the Range, which I think most people do.
Is that why people were hitting you?
I will say this. For anyone who's never had the opportunity to sit in one of those and to have a golf ball hit it.
A little loud?
Wow. That was that was pretty, you know. I had nightmares for, what, two nights? I think it was two nights after that.
And did you try them out with a putter?
Yes, we did.
And is that not the most important part of the game?
It's very important, at least half of the game.
I did not know that the putter stroke cost is the same.
You in the video, though, you know you have to hit you when you putt. It's supposed to go forward. When somehow you putted it backwards behind you.
The idea is to get the ball in the hole in the lowest number of strokes.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I could have gone, and we talked about this, but I could have gone straight. Big deal.
Right, everybody does that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I told her, I said, most of the time I have trouble with the windmill.
Right.
So this was my opportunity. I was going to bank it. If I'm not mistaken, every time you bank it, and correct me if I'm wrong, so the points come off.
Well, that's the thing, and we all know 18 at Medina, in the PGA last time it was there in the Ryder Cup. That hurt the American team, not banking it off the bricks.
Yes. Plus, I think we don't have that video of me getting in the clown's nose, but I got to go again.
Mm.
There you go. Good times.
I was pretty pumped on that.
How far is he away from actually being teacher ready?
A while. Teacher ready a while.
But I have not.
But
seriously,
a lot of potential.
I have not swung a club. Right. I've not swung a club in a long time. So the first time I get up, I hit it.
Beautiful.
So I was like, okay, this is... But then she gave me one... This is how great this was. I wasn't even... She gave me one little tip, and it was to bend over a little more because I was taller.
So you could reach the ball.
So I could... Well, that was an issue.
Right.
That was an issue.
Right, right.
Although I still hit it. But she had me bend over a little bit, and I'm like, okay, boom. And it was, what, 200 plus down the... I was like,
awesome.
Wow.
Yeah,
I go, are you kidding
tall,
me?
So hit it left.
So would you stake your reputation as one of Chicago's finest teachers that he actually has a good golf swing?
Yes, I would.
Oh, look at you, potential.
So you're not kidding?
No.
Wow.
So, you have potential. This is it. This is a job.
Let me tell you something. This is nothing Rachel would ever say about me, and I play 100 rounds a year. You have a good golf swing, which means you have a naturally natural swing.
Except that I did ask her, and this was my legitimate question to her. Now, you golf right-handed.
Yeah, currently. Okay. Yeah. Though I am open to change.
But I was telling her, and Mark, this I played in a kid. In a kid? Yeah, when I was a child.
Yeah,
playing
yeah.
hockey. Yeah. You know, I was a catcher, but in hockey, I was a goalie. So I would keep the stick in my right hand.
Uh-huh.
This is my in my glove hand.
Yeah.
Okay. So when I shoot left-handed.
So you're thinking you should putt left-handed.
Well, when I bat, I can go either way, but I bat left-handed better.
Should he play left-handed?
She said yes.
Well, usually, yeah. There's something called laterality in your swing. So if
that's my problem, I got no laterality.
Oh yeah.
If you're hitting the ball, if your laterality is left-sided, even though you're right-handed, you should be playing from the left side.
And yeah, I immediately went out and got laterally. I thought.
You can't go buy it.
I thought it was candy.
I was trying to tell you for years about your laterality, and I didn't know how to bring it up.
Laterally.
All right, Rachel, for those who legitimately want to learn how to play the game, how do they get a hold of you?
You can call or text me at 773-FUN-GOLF.
Mm-hmm. That's a great number, 773-FUN-GOLF. John, your teaching phone number would be what? 773-F-THIS? Who invented this effing game?
Actually, it comes up to hang up.
Okay.
Yeah.
773-FUN-GOLF. Rachel, any last words on John?
I can't wait to do it again.
Oh, see? We had a blast. We had an absolute blast.
She's got a new project. Yeah,
right?
Maybe this is a job that John can actually be good at.
Let's not go crazy.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Where do we see the video?
Video is on Today and to Cause on YouTube, Undercover John. And there's also a link on the WGN Radio.
Thank you, Rachel, and I hope the Twitch goes away soon and you're able to return to teaching.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Woo! Woo!
Ow!
Love that money!
Nine ten in the morning, the Steve Cochran Show continues. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching on CLTV or on a video stream at WGNRadio.com. Elise Glink standing by. Let's talk a little money. Good morning to you.
Good morning. How's it going?
Going just fine. I just got renewed faith in the youth of America thanks to our friends at Channel 9. You know, we have monitors on here in the studio all morning.
Right.
And you look up and you'll see things that you know are of interest and they were showing a video of a youth soccer game, and I did a search here, and it goes back to last August, but it's the under-12 boys soccer championship where a team from Barcelona beat a team from Japan. The little guys from Japan are devastated and crying and all of that, and the Barcelona young men, after they celebrate, are doing everything they can to console them. I mean, they get in the line, the handshake line, and these are little boys, you know, little boys concerned about you know, all sorts of middle school things. And, you know, these little boys are giving the Japanese boys hugs and patting them on the head and telling them it's going to be okay.
That's more emotional than the end of the game.
Well, in a world of dopey Democrats and Republicans making life tougher for all of us, it just reinforces the truth. Kids are great. Grown-ups screw it up. And these kids are phenomenal. So I know that video goes back to August, but I'd never seen it. We need to post that.
I think it's really nice, and I wish that more of us could reach across the aisle and just say, hey, it's okay. You don't, you know, the world isn't going to end just because you lost this game.
Yeah, yeah, and for little boys to be able to do that, pretty impressive stuff. So anyway, we'll post that at Cochran Show on Twitter and Steve Cochran Show on Facebook. Fannie Mae Freddie news from yesterday, or is that a little deep in the weeds for all of us?
I don't know. The big news with Fannie and Freddie is that the courts have ruled that, no, I'm sorry, hedge fund owners, you're not going to get to claw back all the profits, and the government gets to still get them. That was pretty much the high point there.
So was that expected?
I think it was unexpected to the hedge fund and all the investors, and the stocks in both companies sank. But for anybody who's outside of it, looking at it, the government gave Fannie and Freddie $187 billion, with a B, dollars to keep them afloat and to keep our mortgage market safe, and they threw them into basically the government equivalent of bankruptcy. They sit.
Yeah, and congratulations. Right. So meanwhile, what do we need to be worried about that is more in our realm?
Well, it's not something to be worried about, but HSH.com, they are a long-time publisher of mortgage information, and you can get a lot of interesting information from them. They published a list today, or I guess it was a couple of days ago, on the salary you must earn to buy a home in 27 metro areas. What was interesting, there were some takeaways that if the study that I thought were sort of interesting. One is that the median value of a home sold in the fourth quarter of 2016 was actually lower in almost every market they look at, including Chicago. And that's because we're finally starting to see more first-time buyer homes sold in the price range and trade-up homes versus the super expensive $4.3 million homes. A lot of those are selling, too, but we're starting to see more moderate-income homes sell, and that's a good thing for everybody. The other thing, though, that came out, which I think is interesting, is that even though the median value of the home sold was lower, interest rates have jumped. And so overall, you need more money to buy a house. Affordability has gone down.
Say that one more time so people connect.
So let me just put it this way. You need more money to buy a house now because interest rates are higher.
Again, not a surprise, a reality, right?
It is a reality. In Chicago, this is kind of interesting. So the median home price in Chicago has risen to about $226,000. So not a small amount. And the mortgage rate that people are getting is still around 4%. So it's still pretty good, right? But it's gone up almost a half a percentage point in about 4 months. And so what that's done is it means that it's going to cost you an extra almost 8%. In salary to buy the house. So you need to have a salary level of about $57,000, $58,000 to buy a median price home in Chicago.
So are we in a market now, Elise, where it might be a better option to consider renting for a while? Are we back to that? Or is it better to just outright buy because the rates aren't going to be going much lower?
So it's interesting. The other thing you have to watch when you buy a house are property taxes. And Chicago is really starved tax-wise, just like the whole state is starved. And so property taxes have been on the rise. You're going to have to, when you're deciding how much you can actually afford to buy, one of the things you want to look at is not just what the mortgage and interest rate is and how much you're paying for your mortgage rate, but you have to also look at what you're paying for taxes and utilities. And so for many people, I think that buying a home is still going to be the better option, but when interest rates hit 4.5% to 5%, that calculus might flip. And you're going to really have to do the numbers.
Mark Carmen, say hi to Elise Glink.
Elise, I got a question about buying in a high-rise, because a lot of those units, they have huge costs that you're talking about, like $600 a month, $700 a month, $800 a month. As an investment...
Those are maintenance fees, you mean?
Yeah. I mean, you got a doorman, you got a pool, you got a this, you got a that, and you don't have any control on that going up. Do you like that as an investment if you see the unit as being undervalued?
I think it's really hard to make money on condos, particularly for that reason. If you have a condo building where you don't have a lot of people in it, right, so you don't have an on-staff maintenance, you don't have an elevator or doorman building, you don't have a lot of people around, it's the people cost that drives that higher. And in a condo versus a co-op, you pay taxes on the side. So you're paying the $600 a month and you're paying taxes. In a co-op, all that gets wrapped together. So do I think it's a good deal? You'd have to make sure that the amount of money that you can get in rent over time is going to compensate. You might lose money a little bit in the first year or two, but then with rents continuing to skyrocket, you'll probably do okay over time. But this is not going to be a huge money grab, I don't think.
There's a buyer or seller's market for Chicago high-rises because it feels like we're overbuilt now, even though the cranes are still going up.
They haven't come online yet. So later this year, I think we're going to start to see it flip or not even flip, but soften. So right now, it's a very strong seller's market. Things are just not staying on the market very long at all. But later in the year, when we start to see more of these big buildings come online, I think it's going to soften, and I think buyers are going to have a chance to get in. But that doesn't mean, Mark, it's going to be a great deal and that things are undervalued. If you want to find a house to or a home or a condo to buy and rent, you really do have to look for something that's in terrible shape, that needs fixing up, that you can build in that value, and you have to hold it for a while.
Since the markets fluctuate so much, Elise, how reliable are comps So if you're going to sell your unit or your place, whatever, and someone out in the block sells it for $500,000, someone else sells maybe the same square footage for $200,000. How reliable are comps right now?
I think comps are very reliable because so much has, you know, so much has sold in the last 6 months. But you have to make sure that you're looking at the right kind of comps. So if you're a seller and you're trying to figure out where to list your property, what you want to do is get three agents from three different brokerage firms who all do a lot of business in your building or in your neighborhood. Have them come in and do what's known as a comparative marketing analysis, it's called CMA. And what that is they're going to look at all the comps and everything that's sold, and then they're going to mathematically add and subtract the different amenities that these properties have that yours does or doesn't have. So let's say house A has a pool and you don't, and house B has an extra bedroom and you don't, but you've got a brand new kitchen and none of them do. What they'll do is look at all of that, add and subtract in the pricing, and they're going to come up with what's known as a suggested list price. And you as the seller can say, you are so far off, and they're going to tell you why they're not. And then you can come to a negotiated thing like, okay, we'll try your price for the first, you know, 3 weeks, and if nobody bites, then we're going to go to this other price, or whatever it's going to be. But a comparative marketing analysis is what you want to do, so you're not just talking to one agent and getting one agent's opinion.
Is it tough to figure out true value of something now when we don't know what the cowards in Springfield will do property tax-wise?
I think that you have to go with where we are today. What happens with property taxes is we pay in arrears, right? Which means we're actually in 20.
My arrears or your arrears?
Well, at least it's not Kim Kardashian's, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So we're paying this year for last year's taxes. So what ends up happening when you sell a property is you put generally about 106 to 110% of the expected taxes into the contract, and then when the real number comes in, you negotiate it out, or you know, you say, okay, it was actually this, and then they pay it. And it, usually some of that money goes into a special account where it's held, and that's kind of how we work it out. So future taxes aren't as much of an issue. It's really more about where taxes are now. Every single seller should be contesting their property taxes, by the way. And generally, you will get something if you haven't had it too many years in a row.
Yeah, and it's not as big a pain in the butt as you think it is with everything else in the government. The process is fairly straightforward.
There are attorneys who do it for you, and then they take a third of whatever savings they can get for you, or sometimes as much as 40%.
And it's found money, so why not use them? Elise, where do we follow you?
ThinkGlink.com or on Twitter at Glink.
All right, great. Enjoy the day.
Thanks, you too.
Back after this with our friend Amy Rutledge, John DeCoste's secret girlfriend, and Amy Rutledge about to have twins, and we're hoping she does it while she does the interview next on 720 WGN. All right, 927, back with our friends at CLTV, where Amy Rutledge is standing by. I hope that didn't stress you out. I mean, you're pregnant, for crying out loud.
No, not at all. I'm just glad you got it, because when I walked up here and I put the mic on, I dropped it, and getting down to pick it up was actually difficult.
I was going to say, could you call in an intern or somebody to do that?
Yeah. Have you been over here lately? There's no interns anywhere.
That's right. That's a policy at the company now.
John will volunteer.
Oh, John will help me.
Yeah, I could be right there.
Because you're going to give me piggyback rides.
Oh, you got it.
Closer, right?
I'm there. You want me to come now?
Yeah.
Simmer.
I do want to remind you, Amy, that the 250-foot restraining order that you have with John is a circle, so you don't have to be worried. Any way you turn, he can't get that close to you.
I feel like I'm 250 feet wide, so he actually could be standing right next to me. You never know.
You look great.
You do look fabulous. Ooh. How do you feel?
I'm getting tired. I'm not going to lie. Because I look like I'm 9 months pregnant, but I still have about 10, 11 weeks left to go. So I can't quite wrap my head around how much bigger I'm going to get, but it's like 10 more pounds of baby.
Well, I don't want to speak medically here and bog people down, but good God, woman, you got a couple of them with you.
Well, I know, but, you know, you read that and you hear that, but then experiencing it completely different. So,
you look fantastic.
Ooh, thanks.
Let's talk about this amazing kid you're profiling on the news.
Tommy Shimoda, he is amazing. It was really cool that we got a chance to see him practice. So he is a Special Olympic athlete, 24 years old. He does 20 different sports, but he is headed to the World Games in Austria next month. The only kid out of almost 7,000 Chicago Special Olympic athletes that are heading to Austria next month to compete in speed skating. And man, is he fast. And it's cool, too, because he actually uses hockey skates to speed skate. He doesn't use those long speed skates. And he's just unbelievable. His coach shows him one thing and he picks it up like that.
Did you say 20 sports?
20 sports. He's a year-round athlete. As a matter of fact, he starts floor hockey this coming weekend as he's preparing to go to speed skating in Austria.
We're watching video of it. He looks cool doing it, too.
He is. He's really cool. He's a really cool kid, and he has the medals to prove it. He does equestrian, gymnastics. I believe there's some swimming in there, speed skating, floor hockey. I mean, just... The kid is always moving, and his mom says he eats like Michael Phelps, which I thought was hilarious.
How cute. Has he met any of his idols? Has he got to meet Apollo yet, Amy?
No, not yet. Like, I don't think he has time to do anything else because he's training and speed skating on Tuesdays and Thursdays and Saturdays, and then he has to fit all of his other sports in there.
Yeah, he needs a personal assistant to keep his schedule together.
Yeah.
And they're throwing a party for him today?
They're throwing a big party for him March 11th in Mount Greenwood.
Oh, March 11th.
Park. Yeah.
Okay.
Alderman Matt O'Shea is going to be there because the games actually start, I believe, on the 15th, but on the 11th, he's flying out after the party.
This is another one of these stories, you know, I don't want to get emotional. It's your pregnancy, you know, but it's that time, it's that time. But with all the bad news that's in the world, you hear stories like this, and it just reinforces that the good people are out there, and there's way more of them than the bad people.
There are, and that's the good thing. It makes my job easier. I get to do good stories every day, and they're really not that hard to find because there are so many good people out there, especially in a city like Chicago.
We're very blessed.
Part two, Amy, is how the addition that he's going to have to build onto his home for all of his medals. Because 20 sports, you figure he's going to get a lot of medals.
Well, he medaled this past weekend in state. He got 3 medals. I believe it was 2 gold, 1 silver in speed skating. And I asked his mom, because I've actually met him a couple years ago doing some equestrian events. They have no idea how many medals he has. But it's in the hundreds.
Oh, how cool is that?
It's insane.
I've got my junior golf trophy.
Oh, cool. Hey, I don't even think I have a trophy.
That's one.
Hey, it's something.
They gave a spelling bee from third grade.
Aww.
And Carms, you have all your participation ribbons.
That's not nice, Steve. I have a third place free throw shooting contest from third grade that I can bring in next time if you'd like to see it.
I have race trophy, or I have the race medals. You know, they'll give to anyone if you pay to register for a race. You don't actually have to do it. You just have to show up.
Right. John, do you have anything you'd like to impress Amy with?
Ooh, yeah.
Well, I was just a little curious. The last place you told me to show up for the ultrasound was a 7-Eleven.
Oh.
So where is the next one?
It was right next door. You didn't see it.
No, I had a Slurpee, and then I sat there.
This is the equivalent of the hot girl in the bar giving you the number that doesn't work.
Right.
She's telling you the wrong ultrasound
Maybe
place.
Maybe you transposed the numbers. You know, it wasn't my fault.
That is.
Oh, it's 11-7.
Yeah. You better transpose her from way back.
I was supposed to eat at the 11-7.
I'll email you.
Oh,
thanks.
Yeah.
Well, and again, restraining order. Those are our keywords.
I was going to try and come down there today, but I had to get my 6-year-old on the bus. I couldn't make it all the way down to the tower.
I think you heard John.
Yeah. I didn't see that.
Poor Amy.
Take care of yourself. I know
you
will.
Thank you.
And thanks for the update on this. The story airs when?
It airs tonight on the WGN Evening News between 4 and 6, so make sure to tune in.
Cool. Excellent. Yes, I want to meet that kid.
Yeah.
All right, all the best, Amy. Thanks.
Bye. Bye.
Back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Go Cats.
Well, I didn't see that coming. Seventh caller on 946. So, Sunday night, I'm going to switch this up. Sunday night, I'm minding my own business. I'm not hurting anybody. And I was up later than I expected to be. Because normally, you know, I mean, I'll stay up till 6:30 easy, maybe 6:45. Mm. But John Oliver Last Week Tonight Show, which is very funny. It's not until 10 o'clock.
So you stay up to watch that?
I watched it, yeah. It was, you know, but it turned out to be a good call because I found something for the show, and that is the fact that for 15 years now, Russians in the dead of winter have been able to stumble out to their local karaoke bar and sing a song called A Man Like Putin. Now, we played this earlier in the show. I want to play it for you again, and I'm giving John Oliver full credit for this because I didn't know this existed. But I'm also going to read the lyrics for A Man Like Putin to you while we play it. However, in my search for this, I've also found that Randy Newman, you remember Randy Newman? Short people got no reason. Remember that?
Yeah.
And I Love L.A.?
Yep.
Randy Newman did a song called Putin. Now, I just found the lyrics for this. It looks very funny, but this is obviously in English. But I want to warn you, Jake, there is a dirty version of this. So get close to the delay button because I don't know which version you have. But here's a little bit of Randy Newman's Putin. Randy Newman's Putin. Roll it.
Putin is pencil. One leg out of
like a regular fella. There ain't nothing like a regular fella. Putin is hat on, hat size number 9. You saying Putin's getting big headed? Putin says just fine. He can drive his giant tractor across the Trans-Siberian Plain. He can power a nuclear reactor with the left side of his brain. When he take his shirt off, he drive a lady's crazy. When he take his shirt off, make me want to be a lady.
All right, this is where it gets weird, I think. You know, it's fine, but it's not as good as a man like Putin.
No.
So again, thanks to John Oliver, and thanks to our friends in Russia. Because like President Trump, I think a closer karaoke relationship with Russia is good for America. Here is a man like Putin with original Russian lyrics. Listen to this first.
Cold Cuts and Putin.
It's not actually Cold Cuts and Putin. The lyrics go this way. And it sort of sums up. It's a very popular song. It seems to sum up life in Russia. You ready? My boyfriend got drunk and played the fool again. He fought and ended up eating dust. I've had enough of him, so I sent him away. And now I want to meet someone just like Putin. Someone just like Putin, full of strength. Someone just like Putin who doesn't drink. Someone just like Putin who won't offend me. Someone just like Putin who won't run away. I saw him in the news just yesterday. He was speaking about how the world's in a crossroad. When a man like him, it's easy to stay home and go visiting. What the hell? And now I want me someone just like Putin. A man like Putin, full of strength. A man like Putin who doesn't drink. A man who won't offend me. A man that won't run away. And rinse and repeat. But first, let's dance! For those of you watching on CLTV, I've dropped to my squat position and I'm kicking my knees and legs out in front of me.
Ooh,
I guess it'd be my
face.
Legs. It wouldn't just be my knees. Wait, there's more dancing.
Cold Cuts and Putin.
This gives me such new perspective. It turns out President Trump's right. We need a closer relationship because Putin is fun in Russian.
You know, I know you're making fun of this, but... But here's the thing. My relationship with my wife is all about dust and visiting.
That's true. Dust and visiting. It's true.
So it hits me where the heart is.
He fought and ended up eating dust. I've had enough of him, so I sent him away. And now I want me someone just like Putin. I mean, if that doesn't sum up how we all feel in times like these.
It's like Freebird.
Yes.
Putin.
Yes.
Putin.
A little nuclear reactor light.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Button.
What's the chance that good old Putin wrote it, said sing this and live
yes.
it?
Yeah.
Possible.
And he plays
really
the fiddle on it.
You will write this song.
Here's the song I want you to do now. Forget soul and funk. Do this.
Your boyfriend needs dust.
Dust.
It's 9:51. We'll be back with Boris Badenov, Natasha, and the rest of us, and Bill and Wendy coming up at 10 on 720 WGN. All right, before we go today, a couple of other political notes. It's been very quiet. We haven't heard much from Governor Rauner. Haven't heard much from Mike Madigan. And you know that Madigan. Talk, 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 talk. I'd like to do a song about Madigan. And
that's all it would do. That's all we have.
There's been nothing from anybody related to it. However, a couple of political tidbits. Speaking of Governor Rauner, Governor Rauner's wife, the First Lady Diana Rauner, is now all over social media. She's on Twitter. She's on Facebook. And she tweeted out a happy birthday to her husband. The governor's birthday was, what, Monday, Tuesday?
Yeah, I think it was over the weekend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And Mayor Rahm Emanuel's brother is one of the, if not the biggest agent in Hollywood, and the character in Entourage, mm-hmm. played by, what's his name?
Jeremy Piven.
Jeremy Piven.
Yeah.
Jeremy Piven is allegedly based on Rahm Emanuel's brother.
Ari
Emanuel, yeah, exactly. Yeah. The third brother of the Rockin' Emanuels is a doctor, Dr. Ezekiel Zeke Emanuel, and he is joining Fox News as a contributor.
Is he really?
Yeah, she's going to be. He's an oncologist, and said to be one of the architects of the Affordable Care Act. He's going to offer health care and policy analysis, I should say, across Fox News channels.
Wow.
Zeke was an advisor to President Barack Obama's administration on health care.
Very, very interesting.
And good for Fox.
Mind. Yeah,
good for Fox
mind.
For bringing him in. At 9:55, there's a couple political notes, but there's some sound we haven't gotten to from the show as well. I don't for a minute believe that President Trump is anti-Semitic. However, much like the Russia thing, it's bizarre to me that he hasn't spoken out more forcibly about the threats on Jewish community centers and the rampant anti-Semitism that's gone in pockets around the country, including people who have committed acts of anti-Semitism while they scream out, President Trump's here now, or just acts of bigotry, President Trump's here now, get out of the country, those type of things. He did finally address the anti-Semitic behavior yesterday in a semi-impromptu interview on MSNBC. Here's a clip.
This tour was a meaningful reminder of why we have to fight bigotry, intolerance, and hatred in all of its very ugly forms. The anti-Semitic threats targeting our Jewish community and community centers are horrible and are painful and a very sad reminder of the work that still must be done to root out hate and prejudice and evil.
It's a good start,
mm-hmm.
I think. Sean Spicer got frustrated yesterday in the daily press briefing when the question was brought up a couple of times.
It's ironic that no matter how many times he talks about this, that it's never good enough. Today, I think, was an unbelievably forceful comment by the president as far as his denunciation of the actions that are currently targeted towards Jewish community centers. But I think that he's been very clear previous to this that he wants to be someone that brings his country together and not divide people, especially in those areas. So I saw that statement. I wish that they had praised the president for his leadership in this area.
It's just unbelievable how immature Sean Spicer is at times. The president of the United States not only will have to comment on this again, he'll have to comment on it every time it comes up while he is president and a comment is needed for it.
Absolutely.
You don't get to say it once and go, hey, remember that one time I said it? Well, then you should have remembered. And it's all, come on, grow up.
You know when he can stop talking about it, Steve? When racism is gone, when sexism is gone.
You know when he can stop talking about it? When he's out of office.
When it's over. Exactly.
Sean Spicer talking about the possibility of mass deportation with a revamped executive order. Here's more from the briefing.
Everybody who is here illegally is subject to removal at any time. That is consistent with every country, not just ours. If you're in this country in an illegal manner, that obviously that there's a provision that could ensure that you be removed. But the priority that the president has laid forward and the priority that ICE is putting forward through DHS's guidance is to make sure that the people who have committed a crime or pose a threat to our public safety are the priority of their efforts.
He's not wrong about that. If you can get rid of drug thugs and criminals, great. But when you start throwing families out, that's a problem. And this order, again, seems to be very ham-handed in the way it's been done, needs to be specific. But I want to leave you on an up note. So here's the punchline. See if you can identify it with one more moment with Sean Spicer from the press briefing.
I think the president has been very clear that certain outlets have gone out of their way to not represent his record accurately. And it is a concern to him. And I think some reporters, he has deep respect for the First Amendment.
That's the part. That's the part. That's the part. That's the part right there. The part where he has deep respect for the reporters. He kills me. I got to get him a gig at Zanies.